Sunday at 9, sharing her real estate knowledge, tips on buying and selling your home, information on the loans to look for, and the ones to avoid. Throughout the Real Estate Hour, call in and ask your questions direct to Allison and her guest experts. And now, her glass is always half full. Here's Allison Norman.
Good morning and welcome to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman, heard every Sunday morning here on KSRO. Happy Sunday. It's another beautiful day, although I know we're all praying for rain. but we're enjoying the sunshine while we pray for rain. I was remembering last year, actually 3 years ago, I had a Facebook reminder that came up that I was driving through hail on the way back from Sonoma yesterday, 3 years ago. And then last year was like the wettest February, and I think we had in a while. So anyway, how times change. But so we are hoping for some rain. We have a jam-packed informational show today. I have Shirley Zane here, Supervisor Shirley Zane.
Hi.
Hi.
It's good to be here.
I know. Yeah. Thanks for coming in. It's great. So we're going to talk a lot about what's going on in Sonoma County, some of the hot topics of the Measure I with the Smart Train, which you are a board member of.
Yes.
Yeah, and as well as being our supervisor for District 3 and up for re-election this year.
Yep.
Yeah, so keeping busy with that. And then we'll talk about the homelessness issues, the county mental health issues, PG&E, fire rebuild, all kinds of interesting stuff. So stay tuned for that. Real quick, before we dive into that and I introduce Shirley, I want to just talk about a couple of things. Interest rates, super low. I talked to a client yesterday who actually bought a house last year. They refinanced beginning of this year, and their interest rate is now, they had a VA loan, they're now down to under 4% for their loan. So if you bought a house in the last, couple of years even, and your interest rate is, up over 4%, really look at refinancing. A lot of lenders will do it at really low cost to roll that into a lower interest rate for you. So look into that. And again, I also have been telling my buyers who are out looking, if you were haven't talked to your lender in a while, talk to them again and see if you maybe can up that amount of home price that you're looking for, because when the interest rates go down, you can qualify for a higher priced home or a bigger loan without spending any extra money. So make sure you do that. And then just a quick reminder, I have my PUD, which is in the Valley West neighborhood. It really doesn't feel like a complex, but it is a small complex, kind of stuck in the middle of a neighborhood over in Northwest Santa Rosa. It's 506 Tracy Avenue. It's a two-bedroom, two-bath, listed at 465. The HOA covers all the exterior of the property. So really, if you're looking to downsize or maybe get your foot in the door of real estate here in Sonoma County, this is a great option. So keep that in mind. It's 465,000, 506 Tracy Avenue. And then I have a quick shark alert, and I don't want to wait till next week to do it. So we're going to squeeze it into this time that we have today. Shark alert. If you are in a real estate transaction, really any transaction where it requires a wire transfer, there's a story out of San Diego. A couple just lost almost $800,000 because they wired their funds to an email. They got a wire instructions, I guess. They wired their funds to this wiring instructions that they were given, and it turns out it was a scam. This happens way more often than people realize. There is there's a wire fraud document disclosure that you sign when you make an offer on something, but really pay attention to it. This is real. It really happens. Please do not just look at an email and go, oh, here's the wire instructions. I'm going to send $800,000 to this. And then they didn't check until 2 days later. They checked in with the escrow company to see if they were asking about their wire, and they went, oh, you sent your wire? We didn't get your wire. And at that point, it's way too late for the FBI to even do anything. So always, always, always call your escrow company if you get wire instructions and ask, go over it with them on the phone. And a lot of banks will also make sure that while you're standing there setting up your wire that you call the escrow company, because they know how serious this is. So just really talk to your lender. I mean, talk to your escrow person before you send a wire, and make sure, Google their address. Their phone number. Don't just look at the phone number on the email and call that number and say, hey, are these the right wiring instructions? Because, They're very sophisticated scams. It'll look like an email that's coming from the escrow company, but it's not. So be safe. And that's my shark alert for the day. So it's really serious, and it's really sad. This couple actually lost their $800,000 and the home of their dreams. I think there's a GoFundMe set up to try and help them through that. But, you know, it shouldn't have happened. You've got to be careful. Anyway, onward with Supervisor Shirley Zane.
Hi.
Hi, good morning. I'm here. You are here, and I was babbling away about real estate. But let's get into... you know, what's going on in the community and all of that. So Supervisor Shirley Zane, representing Sonoma County's 3rd District, and serves on the committee to provide guidance on policy on behalf of the board. Shirley has over 30 years of experience working in health and human services as a family therapist, minister, hospital chaplain, special education professional, inner city social worker, and the CEO of Council on Aging. And you've been on the board since 2009.
2009, right? Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you love riding your beloved horse Lucy, which I've seen pictures of on Facebook. And you're a painter. You're a great painter.
I've seen some of your work. Yeah, I'm an oil painter. Yeah, I've not ridden my horse in over a month because I am busy knocking on doors every weekend. Unfortunately,
busy.
But
yeah.
This is I don't mean unfortunately. I meant it's great talking to the voters. I just haven't had the opportunity to see my horse.
Of course, I know. There's that whole, you know, balance and counterbalance. Yeah. And there's this theory I know through Gary Keller, who's the founder of Keller Williams Realty. It talks about that counter. You can't really. There is no balance. It's counterbalance. There's always somebody's going to get a little bit more than the other, and you just work it out. So. Right now, the priority is getting you back, getting you to remain in office.
Yes.
So March 3rd is the election. So that was a really brief bio. Is there anything else you want to add as far as your, you know, what you're involved in the county?
I know it's a lot of things. It's hard to keep up. The Smart Train. I've been on the board now for 10 years, and I think we're moving along. And obviously, we've had some challenges with this election, but I think. Overall, we've been very successful, and we're looking forward to going farther north in terms of our stations. I'm also a board member for the last 11 years on the Bay Area Air District Management Board, and we meet in San Francisco, but we have representatives from 9 Bay Area counties. I mention that right now because in this election, Chevron Oil and Phillips 66 have taken out $150,000.
Wow.
I know. To try and defeat me. I have been a leader on that board in terms of pushing back toxin emissions, GHG emissions with the refineries. And we have 6 actually in the Bay Area. So, and a lot of the people who live around those refineries are the people that I represent, the, you know, as I call them, providing the voice for often the voiceless, meaning children and low-income people and minorities that don't have the time to often get as involved with politics as some of the rest of us. But they're the ones who end up being really the victims of some of these toxic emissions from these refineries. So I've had a prime leadership role in 2 of the rules now that we've adopted. Which literally cost these refineries, these big oil companies, millions of dollars. So, and this has been a 10-year plus battle I've had with them. They've been trying to oust me for about 8 years now.
Wow.
And they didn't have an opportunity in the last election because I had no opponent. I was unopposed. But when this election, they have poured hundreds of thousands of dollars into the opponent's campaign in order to get me off that board. It's a very important board in that it is absolutely critical to the health and well-being and climate change of the air that we breathe. We have adopted some of the strictest rules in the nation in the Air District Board, which I'm very excited about, and I've definitely been at the forefront of that. We have a public health committee meeting that I chair. And we are dealing with the secondary health effects also from wildfire smoke and did some authored some legislation too so that we can have some clean air evacuation sites. So those are some of the things I'm involved with. I do a lot of work on mental health and I'm also housing for the homeless, specifically veterans with the Tiny Home Vets Village and the Palms Inn. Those are two projects that I led on. Great partners, Catholic Charities, St. Vincent's. I think we're really lucky to have some of the partners we have here in Sonoma County. And I feel like we're making some real strides in terms of the homeless issue with the Los Gillicos encampment opening, which is not, you say encampment, but it's really a shelter, individual shelters for the people that live out there, and getting them help. We have staff out there too. To provide help. So there's a lot going on.
And we're gonna dive into a lot of the topics that you brought up. And homelessness is definitely one of the issues. Mental health, affordable housing, which all kind of goes together, I think. And then Smart Train. I know there's a heated Measure I right now with that. So without getting too deep into that, we'll kind of talk about what Smart is doing and why they're asking for this. And then you have some information about the fire rebuild and PG&E and what's going on with that. I want to just briefly talk about I pulled up on your page the supporters. And let me see. I'm going to put this link. And it is Zane for Supervisors, Z-A-N-E, for supervisor.com, and then /we. I think it's _support_Shirley, and it's Shirley is S-H-I-R-L-E-E.
Two E's.
But anyway, there's this huge list of supporters, and I think it's important to note that you have the support of the full current board of supervisors, the majority of the Santa Rosa City Council, majority of the Rohnert Park City Council, which just before I get into this, I wanted to bring up District 3. What you cover pretty much downtown core of Santa Rosa?
Yeah, and it's kind of the 101 corridor, and it goes up to Northwest, but not into Larkfield. And then it goes down to Sonoma State to Cotati Avenue.
Okay, so kind of part of Rohnert
Park. Yeah, and it's east also of 101, so we don't cover the Grayton Casino, for example, that's in David Rabbit's district. Okay. But we do include Sonoma State too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you have the support of the Santa Rosa City, or the majority of the Santa Rosa City Council and Rohnert Park, and North Bay Association of Realtors has endorsed you.
Santa Rosa Firefighters, I like to add that.
Thank you, Santa Rosa, yeah.
California Nurses Association, and also the groups that represent the mental health and behavioral health therapists, both at the county and also at Kaiser, so National Union for Healthcare Workers.
Okay.
And then we have our own union there at the county called Engineers and Scientists. So that represents pretty much the vast majority of the therapists. Here in the county.
Right. Well, that's great. I mean, I think you have your past kind of speaks for you a lot. Yeah. I mean, you've done a lot for the county, and I appreciate everything you've done and all the different avenues, really. I think the mental health is a huge issue. Let's get Smart out of the way, and then we'll kind of dive into the other things. So you are on the board of Smart, obviously. In favor of Measure I. And so Measure I, just to kind of briefly explain what it is, is it extending what's already there?
Yes, it's extending the quarter cent sales tax measure, which we all approved back in, or the majority approved, over 60%, back in 2008. The problem we had was, as soon as we got approved, sales tax tanked. It was the recession. Mm-hmm. And it pretty much tanked for the next 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
So in order to build, we needed to borrow. And so we financed the initial building of the train with bonds. So by getting the sales tax extended earlier on like this, it will allow us to have financial certainties so that we can refinance the loans and put more money back into the operations of the train. The train's doing great, and we have gotten lots of grants and additional funding, federal funding and state funding as well.
Okay.
So we will be to Windsor this next year.
Nice.
We completed our section to Larkspur, so you can now get on the ferry, get off at Larkspur and get on the ferry and go into San Francisco. You can always go into San Francisco via the Marin route. It stops at the Marin Transit Center, and you can take a Mooney bus, and be downtown in, 20 minutes max.
Right.
So I have a lot of friends that I know that ride it. They ride it for their work, and they say it's just changed their quality of life to not have to get stuck in the Novato Narrows and be whizzing by on the train with their coffee and their croissant and their computer,
relaxing.
Right?
Yeah,
so
or reading a book
who doesn't
or
want
sleeping.
That? Yeah, who doesn't want that?
Yeah.
I've been pretty assertive about making sure that everybody can ride the train because we all pay for it. So we have a new program now that we've been able to adopt through Metropolitan Transportation Commission, and it basically cuts the fares in half for the low-income people. So it will be a lot more affordable. That's coming soon.
Okay.
And
somebody would apply for? Or?
You can go online and check it out, and I think you can apply online. I hope you can. If not, we need to make it as easy as possible.
Yeah.
I think we can.
That's been one of the biggest... I think complaints I've heard about Smart is the cost.
Is the cost
expensive,
right?
To ride.
It is expensive.
And it makes it more of kind of like a novelty, However, I've talked to other people who use it for work, and it
quite
is
quite a
convenient.
Few. I mean, if you get on one of those trains that leaves anytime, usually between 5 and 7 in the morning, it's full by the time you get to Petaluma. It's really full. And now we've added all these extra trains on the return trip. So we're picking up more of that day-to-day commuter passenger train folks.
I think it's great to have. I think a big part of the problem is that the county has never been a transit, train-oriented county.
No,
you
we're
look
not.
At other parts, other cities where a train is, that's how you get to work and that's how you get into the city. And I think it's hard to grasp for some people that.
I think you're right. And yet at the same time, it is a game changer, especially if you want to think about business. We have businesses in Marin County, some big businesses like the biotech industry, for example. And majority, I believe, of their employees live in Sonoma County. So they need to get there. And then now it's the other way around, too. People who live down there who want to come up to and work in Sonoma County.
Yeah.
So it really is, I always call it a game changer. It's like the main artery, right? In terms of, and you got to build in the commuter, the links to the train so that people can get on that last mile.
Right.
A lot of cyclists take their bike on so they can get to their work from there.
Exactly. And I actually have, in real estate, I've had clients who take that into effect. I had a client that moved up from, works in Marin.
Right.
Her parents, her kids' grandparents live in Novato.
Yeah.
Just, her son could hop on the train with his bike, so they moved up to Rohnert Park. But so her big thing was being close to the train station. And I've had other clients who are investors that want to be along that core where the train is because they get it.
Yeah,
that they're from areas where trains are normal.
Yeah.
And we're, here it's like,
exactly,
what is this train? Why do we need it? But I think there is a real benefit to it.
Yeah.
So Measure I would extend that, what we're already paying for.
Yeah. It's just an extension. It's an earlier extension. That's all it is. It's not an increase.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Good. Well, I think it's a good idea. So I'll put my vote in. Anyway, again, we're talking to Shirley Zane, Supervisor Shirley Zane, 3rd District of Sonoma County. I'm Allison Norman. This is Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour. We're going to, I think we have about 5 minutes till we go to the news. So let's talk about the big, the huge elephant in the room, the homeless issue and the Joe Rodotta Trail, which was such a... such a big issue. And I know I had David Guen on the show and we talked a little bit about it, and it was kind of an odd because it's in the city of Santa Rosa, but it was a county strip of land. And so they kind of, you all had to kind of work together to make that work.
Yeah, and we need to continue to work together too. And I think we are. There's been some bumps. Obviously, it was a shared type of. I mean, let's just face it. When the homeless is a shared responsibility for the whole community. Mm-hmm. You know, you shouldn't have all the services in one neighborhood. Like I've argued, West End right now, we have over 300 people living in shelters in the West End and three major service providers. It should be spread out, you mm-hmm. know, and so the encampment that we've created, the Los Gilicos encampment, which is truly wonderful with the showers and bathrooms and services, and we've got county personnel out there getting people on programs and get medical attention and helping them get back to work and on their feet and treatment for substance abuse and mental health. But that's great, but we need a lot more of these. We need them everywhere, too. Mm-hmm. And some people have argued, well, we need them right there at the county center. Well, I'm not going to disagree with that. It still has to be the right place. And I think they should be smaller. It's 60 people right now. We gave everybody an opportunity to get housed with a bed, and some of them went to shelters. But the sad part, and I think we haven't wrapped our heads around it completely yet in terms of the why, is that about only one out of three or four took the help. The rest of them said they didn't want it, and they moved
on. They don't want
the
help. Yeah.
And so if they don't want the help, okay, I get that. Sometimes people get so sick that they can't help themselves anymore, mm-hmm. and that is the case with some people. But at the same time, if they don't want the help, then they can't break the law. I mean, I think that neighbors and people who live here truly have great hearts of compassion and want to help the people who need the help, but at the same time, to tolerate some of the public health and nuisance issues, mm-hmm. such as the fires and not having bathrooms and the trash.
Yeah. And the needles.
The needles and the noise. And I mean, it's just, that's just unacceptable. We have mm-hmm. to push back, and that's where we need our law enforcement to step up. So I know the city of Santa Rosa is not allowing now the police, and neither is the sheriff, allowing those encampments to spring up and grow like they did at the trail. The reason why it grew is because there was a court injunction. We were sued by the advocates, mm-hmm. and the court injunction basically said that you must find a place for somebody. You can't just dislocate them if they are on public land.
Okay.
So it created a real problem for us mm-hmm. in terms of what we were going to do. But eventually the public nuisance was so bad, and then there was no access to the trail, of which taxpayers have all paid for that
right.
wonderful recreation
trail. It's a nice trail.
Oh, and I've taken it so many times with the biker chicks and the cycling group. And so, you know, at that point we did take action, went back to the court injunction. And I think we've come up with some good ideas. I know the county's been criticized for buying homes for the homeless, but some of those homes are large, and you can house 6 to 12 people in them, and they will have rules, and they will need to get care as well and treatment.
Mm-hmm.
We do know that for people that are chronically homeless, supportive housing is the best thing for them, like we did at the Vets Tiny Home Village or the Palms Inn, meaning you need to have caseworkers and mental mm-hmm. health people there, living there if at all possible, which is what we did at the Vets Village.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Well, I think it's a lot of good stuff, and it is a huge problem, and there is no one solution. And you know, that there's a lot to be done, but it's, you know, I don't know. I think it we just need to keep plugging away.
Yep, we sure do.
Anyway, so I'm talking to Supervisor Shirley Zane. I'm Allison Norman. This is Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. We're going to take a little break for the news. When we come back, we'll talk some more about kind of the difference. I think the homeless issue is not, you know, there is a different portions of it. There is the mental health issues that go along with it and the affordable housing. We got to run. We'll take a quick break. I'll be right back.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
The next stop on the Democratic primary circuit, and 6 days from the contest, Democratic Congressman James Clyburn of South Carolina was on ABC's This Week, and he says there could be issues with a self-professed Democratic socialist, Senator Bernie Sanders, atop the ballot in southern states, especially as they try to maintain a Democratic hold on the House.
I think that that would be a real burden for us in these states or congressional districts that we have to do well in.
Sanders is coming off wins in yesterday's Nevada caucus and the New Hampshire primary. President Trump's en route to India, leaving the White House today, said he's not been briefed on any Russian interference in the 2020 election. The president also touted the ongoing reduction of violence in Afghanistan with the Taliban. If it holds up for a total of 7 days, it will lead to larger peace talks. An Italian authority is trying to figure out the source of the coronavirus outbreak. 133 confirmed cases in the country, the most of any outside Asia. Brian Clark, ABC.
KSRO.
Real estate in the North Bay is as diverse as its residents. From young families to retirees, you want a real estate professional that knows the region and can get you what you want with the least amount of hassle. Allison Norman of Keller Williams fits the bill.
It's my honor to work with first-time homebuyers, helping them make ownership in the North Bay a reality. It's important to me to get veterans, active military, young families, and single moms into stable homes right here in our community. I have extensive experience with FHA and VA buyers and how to work the ins and outs of getting your offer accepted.
Allison is involved in giving back in our community, too.
I've adopted a care, serve, give business practice, allowing me to give back to the communities I serve and the causes most important to my clients. Through Care, Serve, Give, I donate a charity you select at the close of every escrow.
Call Allison at 707-799-3617. Online at allisonnorman.kw.com.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Thanks, guys. To start off the week, high of 68 today, 58 along the coast, mostly clear skies tonight, low 39, 43 on the shores, 70 then for Monday with blue skies, 60 in Bodega Bay, Tuesday mostly sunny at 78 degrees, 63 along the coast. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO.
Welcome back to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on KSRO. Now, here's more with Allison.
Good morning. We're back. Happy Sunday and welcome to the Real Estate Hour. I'm Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour here on KSRO every Sunday morning. You can listen to the podcast of the show if you missed anything or want to listen again at KSRO.com. You go to, there's a drop-down menu that says Shows. You click on that. Open up Ask the Expert and look for Allison Norman Real Estate, and that'll take you to the Real Estate Hour, and you can listen to all the past shows, and today's show will be up about probably 10 minutes after we wrap up here at 10 o'clock. So I'm talking today with Supervisor Shirley Zane, and thanks again for coming in.
Absolutely. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, good information. Yeah. And you've been on before. You came on with Mike, and I think when Mike and I were doing the show together 2 years back, so... Always good to have you, and you've been a supervisor here in Sonoma County for 9 years, always with District 3.
11, right? Actually, yeah.
11.
District 3, yeah.
Since 2009. What did I say? Did I say
you
that?
Said 9.
Oh,
yeah.
That's okay. I had the 09 in my head, sorry. Yeah. Okay, so since 2009, 11 years. So you made it through the whole recession and all of that.
some really tough budgets. We had the crisis of the Andy Lopez shooting. We had the recession. We now have the homeless issue. It's been a lot of crises that we've handled.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes.
It's not an easy job. You're on duty all the time. You know, you're always talking to people out in the public, wherever you are, essentially answering emails at 10:30 at night. it's people ask me what's it like, and it's like you have to know a lot about a lot, and you have to be a constant student too.
Yeah. And I think you need to be passionate about it.
Absolutely.
Which I think you are. Yes. Otherwise, you wouldn't be, you wouldn't still be here running for another.
I am passionate about public service. And I always say it's not about rhetoric, you know. Beware of political rhetoric. Mm-hmm. It's about results. It's about being able to get things done. And mm-hmm. I'm proud of my record. One thing I didn't mention earlier, we were talking about mental health, is the mobile support team, what a great success it's been. It took us a while to start that because of the recession, but we did get it started about my third year in office. And after there was a tragic death in Sebastopol, the Jeremiah Chass case, where the deputies shot the kid who had the psychotic break and who was holding a knife to his little brother's neck. Horrible tragedy. County had to settle it. And it's like, I said, wait, why can't we provide therapists for those situations to help our deputies? You know, they're not trained to be mental health workers. They need that support.
Mm-hmm.
So we did. We launched the mobile support team, and now they're available for our law enforcement, for sheriff, for Santa Rosa Police Department, for Windsor Police Department, for Roner Park, and for Petaluma.
Wow.
All of those. Great. And that, now we've gone out west too for the sheriff too. So 911 mental health calls. They often go and get the support team so that we can keep people out of the jails. Yeah.
Nice. Good, good. Well, thank you for doing that. That's great. So let's wrap up. We were talking about the homelessness issue. And just to kind of break it down a little bit, there's the homeless by circumstance, whether it be the fires that displaced so many people, or some financial crisis that left somebody without a home, or drug issues or mm-hmm. mental health issues. And so there's a different segments of the homeless population. So how is that handled differently in the county?
I think each case has to be handled differently, and I think we're doing a good job of that. The problem is that a lot of people don't want the help. I think I want to add another category to the categories that you mentioned, Allison. We also have a lot of people who are domestic violence victims, and those would be women and then older women in terms of the poverty issue.
Okay.
So they kind of went to the top of the list in terms of the Los Gillicos shelter.
Okay.
So I think that what we do is that we try and treat each case individually. The cost of living here is very, very high. So you need to get into that. People often need to get into treatment, but then they need to be able to land somewhere where they continue to get that treatment and be able to support the housing. And so the housing is so critical this beginning of the real estate hour.
Right.
I will say that one of the things the county is looking for doing right now is to find some bridge housing between the jail and between homelessness. Because when people get discharged, and there's about 450 people right now in the jail that have mental illness, and when they get discharged after they get treatment in the jail, and they mm-hmm. often get some of the most intensive treatment they've ever had in the jail, they go out and they're discharged. There's not enough services and there's not enough housing. They become homeless again. They reoffend and mm-hmm. they're back in the jail. Yeah. So we're consciously really trying to educate our state representatives, because we need a lot more funding in terms of mental health services the counties do from the state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we're trying to open a bridge to that. Bridge housing. Bridge housing would be like what we have seen in San Diego County, basically buying some large apartment housing, providing wraparound services right there. And so when somebody gets discharged from the jail, if they don't have a place to go, they can go and go to that bridge housing and stay anywhere from 30 to 90 days and get the help they need.
Right. Because I think that's great. I think it is there has to be a longer term solution than, okay, we're going to treat you and then there you go, you're out.
Right. Yeah.
Go fend for yourself. It's like, similar to, like the foster system where they, when you're 18, it's like, okay, bye,
And we did take care of that too with the state by extending those services to up to 22 years, I believe it is now.
Oh, with the foster kids.
Yeah, with the support.
I think that looking ahead at, you know, not just the immediate solution, but what's the solution moving forward? Because you can't just treat somebody and then send them on their way, or you can't treat them short term.
It's a long term issue for most people. Yeah. And especially for those who have been chronically homeless.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think our jails have become the new psych hospital, sadly. When Reagan deinstitutionalized years ago, we've now lost over 100,000 psych beds. So I'm working with a group of suicide survivors from Kaiser, and we go down to Kaiser in Oakland once a month and meet with some of the head doctors and executives about redesigning mental health services with Kaiser. And one of the things that we've talked about is, why don't hospitals have psych beds? Why don't they? Because the law has been in California mental health parity for the last 20 years, that which says you have to provide the same equal treatment for people with mental illness as you would for any other disease, such as cancer or heart disease. That's been on the books for 20 years. There's been no real enforcement from the state.
Wow.
The Attorney General's office and the Governor's office need to come down hard on private health care partners that do not provide equal treatment. And we know that most of them don't. So I've been saying, look, Kaiser, you know, you've got psych emergencies, tons of them in your ER. They're expensive to treat. Why not open some psych beds in each one of your hospitals? Because sometimes people get sent away 2.5 hours. You know, they're going to be sent down to Livermore, Pleasanton, where there's psych beds.
Yeah.
And that just is not conducive to healing.
Right.
So there's a lot of things that I think we can improve on. But the law does say that you are to provide the same equal treatment. Yeah.
Right. Wow. Yeah. And mental health is such an issue. And I think you're right, where it's kind of overlooked. So thank you for all you're doing. I know you've been working hard on that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, let's kind of shift abruptly over to, well, maybe not. There is a segue, because the fire rebuild. I want to talk about what's going on with that.
Yeah.
And a lot of the homelessness came from that, because, you know, especially I think Larkfield Coffee Park especially was rentals. Those people were displaced. But so how is that? We've had Dave and Gwen on talking about that area, Coffee Park, and the rebuild there. But I haven't really talked to anybody about what's going on in the unincorporated areas.
In the county areas.
So how is that going?
I think we're doing well in terms of the number of houses that we lost. We've had about 400 houses completed to date. We've got another 770 that are under construction. So that's over 1,000 once those get finished. We have 124 that are under permit review, and then another 130 where they've been issued permits and haven't built yet. There has been a shortage of construction workers, as we
everywhere.
Can imagine.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think there's also been a lot of trauma. I want to speak to that trauma, because I've worked really hard to make sure that we have the counseling services that are necessary for the people who are experiencing both grief from losing their homes and their whole lives, or the things that represent their lives in those homes, but also for the trauma. If you look at the last fires that we've had, the Kincaid fire in October, late October, and we did so much better, I think, as a county in terms of advising, warning people in emergency services and getting people evacuated. We didn't lose any lives, but we lost still about 200 homes. But that said, I think with the fires that we can expect to happen every season, people have a lot of PTSD. And when I'm knocking on doors out there, people want to talk about that.
Really?
Yeah, they do, which they still, and because, you know, we've got all these high winds now.
Mm-hmm.
And even now in winter, we're having high winds and the driest February, I think, is on the books over 100 years. So we need to be mindful that we are a community that has experienced tremendous tragedy and disaster and loss, and that people need to come together, but we also need to be sure that we provide sufficient services. And being a former family therapist who's worked in mental health for many years, I will say that sometimes trauma and grief get confused. Grief is something normally that we do when we have losses, any type of loss. Trauma is really that experience to something that is often violent in nature. Mm-hmm. As bad as floods are, fires are much more, they're violent. You know, everything is just gone. And people continue to experience those symptoms of PTSD, not unlike what a lot of our veterans that are chronically homeless experience as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. And it affected all of us, the fires. I didn't lose my home, but it affected me, and nowhere near how it affected somebody that lost their home. But I think it did affect us all.
I think it affected all of us too. We all knew people too,
right?
That lost their homes.
And for 6 months to a year later, I was hearing of people that I didn't realize had lost their home,
right?
And it did. I think it left us all a little numb. But I'm glad to see things, you know, moving forward. And so those are areas where I guess Larkfield, Markwest, up over Markwest Springs Road, all of those homes. There's a lot of construction there. And then Bennett Ridge, I guess, over there is part of the
county too.
Oh, and would it be Glen Ellen and in Sonoma?
Yes, also in Sonoma Valley, the unincorporated in Sonoma Valley. There were, you know, out of the different areas, I think Fountain Grove actually lost the most, which covers a lot of the 3rd District.
Okay.
But we were up there a couple of nights ago, and a lot of our fire recovery victims are up there. We're knocking on their doors, and they're going, "Oh my gosh, come in! We want to see. We want you to see our new house."
Yeah,
it was really fun actually to celebrate with all of those fire recovery victims that we worked with for the last 2 years, because most of them have moved into those homes in the last 2 months.
Yeah,
and
it's great to see.
Yeah, it was really gratifying. But we're not done. So we need to be mindful of the recovery victims that still need that help.
Right. We do. And so then with the other topic really, that kind of goes along with that is PG&E and what's going on with that. As far as the power shutoffs and how that's affecting, and the high winds and I think triggering that PTSD too as well. But, what is the county doing, and what have you been doing to help with that?
Yeah.
What have you been doing?
We were very, we were very active with the PG&E shutdowns. We were active in terms of legally. We were, our county attorneys have filed several briefings against the California Public Utilities Commission that has the oversight over PG&E. We absolutely have businesses that had substantial losses, restaurants with freezers that lost food, example.
Mm-hmm.
And then workers, too, that still needed to be paid and didn't go to work because their businesses were shut down for a week or more.
Right.
So we're trying to help those people get back on their feet through our Economic Development Board. And we're filing briefings against the CPUC. And we are continuing our very assertive talks with PG&E about the shutdowns. One of the things we did is that as a former senior service provider who still works on lots of senior programs after I ran the Council on Aging for 10 years, one of the first things that came to my mind is that during these shutoffs, we had literally thousands of clients that were recipients of IHSS workers, which are the in-home service providers that help them just with basic day-to-day living. And those are going to be people that are going to be dramatically affected by their electricity going off in terms of maybe oxygen and all kinds of things. Just, just the challenge of having disabilities and being poor and growing older.
Right.
All of those.
Yeah, so Oakmont was out of
Oakmont was out for a long time, So what we did is that we decided we would call every single one of those clients. So we did, and our health and human services employees just did an incredible job.
Oh, good.
And literally went out and said, "What can we do for you?" So I think there was that, to me, is one of the greatest concerns, is how not only how businesses survive these shutdowns and what we can do to mitigate some of those losses, but also our most vulnerable populations, which is often our seniors and disabled, and who are living, fairly isolated lives. I think if there's anything that we can glean from these crises, and the PG&E shutdowns have been manufactured crises, I like to say that.
Right.
I don't think they've been necessary to the extent that they've been done. But what crises does do is that it reminds us
that we're all interdependent. We're not independent. We are interdependent. We need one another. We need to step up and take care of our neighbor.
Yeah, good idea. You're right. Yeah. We're not. We're like stuck. We all kind of stay in our houses and
yes, exactly.
Indoors and checking on your neighbors is an important thing. Well, it's good, and I think you're right about it being manufactured. And it almost felt like PG&E's like, oh yeah, you're gonna, you know, we're just gonna shut off the power then. And so I'd like to see. I mean, this can't just become a norm.
No, it can't.
And
it
so
can't.
We've got to have some kind of pushback to hold them accountable.
I think it has to be radical too. I think the governor really needs to make some steps to turn them into a nonprofit, because one of the main problems, and this goes back to greed, the greed of the big oil companies that don't want me in office anymore, and also the greed of the PG&E stockholders who are making huge profit on this particular utility. It's being governed supposedly by a state agency, but not very well in all of our opinions. And if you turn it into a nonprofit, if the governor does that, then suddenly those profits actually go back into the aging infrastructure and rebuilding that aging infrastructure. That's why we've had these fires, is because it's a 50-year-old grid, and you've got lines and trees, and you can drive anywhere in this county and see trees growing into PG&E lines. So it's, again, I want to stress, it's not the PG&E workers. I'm proudly supported by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, and they do so much of the work for PG&E. It's not the line workers, it is the corporate executives that demand these massive profit margins.
Right. I think that's an important point.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing that up, because I know that that was really hard on the line workers and all
horrible,
employees.
Because they were getting hatred, vitriolic behavior. No.
Come on, you guys. We're all just kind of trying to get through this. And, you know, I think all in all, I think we handled that, especially the whole, you know, massive evacuation was handled really well. And I think
very well. And we just, it was so different between the first fires. I mean, we had time on our side, so I will say that there were not fires going all up and down the state like there were during the Tubbs in 2017. So we had Cal Fire's undivided attention for those first 2 days, where we could get on top of the fire. But I will say that that support that we got from fire districts and agencies all over the country and the state, that was really huge. I drove up on Chalk Hill, I think it was the second day, with our chief and Jared Huffman, Congressman Huffman, and we went up there, and it just, you know, it just made me cry just to see these fire engines at the bottom of each home's driveway, protecting those homes.
And what they did
to stop the fire from jumping the freeway too, which we were so scared that was going to happen. I mean, when we went to bed, I think it was Sunday night, we were huddled under this tent at Incident Command at the fairgrounds with our colleagues from Windsor on the Windsor Town Council, and they were all saying, well, this, I probably won't see my home tomorrow.
I remember hearing that,
and we thought we were going to lose Windsor, literally. And it was so joyous when we realized that the fire, we had a little cushion with the winds, but also the firefighters,
they fought hard.
They fought so hard. They were just incredible.
Yeah. Kind of that when you put your mind to it, I think they're like determined to make it happen, and there was all the support there to do it, and I guess the knowledge, the things that they learned from the other fire.
I will add, there is a fire tax on this ballot, and please vote for it, because we are not even where we need to be in terms of our resources with fire. Everything's changed, so we do need that.
Do you know the name of the
name of it?
I should,
I'm sorry.
Look it up. It's
Look it up.
Tax.
Yeah, it's called It's the fire tax. Basically, okay. It'll provide more resources.
I haven't voted yet.
Equipment and staffing, too. And it's going to affect all of our fire districts.
Oh, good. So look for that and vote, please, vote yes on that. So, and that is it a sales tax or a... like a property tax, something. Anyway,
I think it's a property tax.
Okay. Well, look into that one and see. And I'll put some information about it on the Facebook page, which is Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. So look for that on Facebook. And then I'm going to put some links. We are talking to Supervisor Shirley Zane, and make sure you get out there and vote on March 3rd, and you're on the ballot.
I am on the ballot. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You have my support.
I was just going to say, California Nurses Association, therapists, healthcare workers, Santa Rosa firefighters, and then all kinds of our wonderful unions like the IBEW and Carpenters Union. So lots of, and farmers, and business people, and veterans,
right.
And both mayors of the cities that I represent, which is City of Santa Rosa, and also in Roner Park, and the majority of the Santa Rosa City Council members, as well as all of my colleagues and a few other people. On the board, which is important because it is about collaboration. You know, we don't get things done in isolation. I'm just 20%. Of that board. I'm only 20%.
Right, yeah. So yeah. You're
I'm not the president. I'm not the dictator. I'm just 20%.
Right, so. But you cover a important part of our county, the downtown core and into Roner Park. Community leaders and individuals here. I'm looking at your list. There is a list if you go to zaneforsupervisor.com, which I'll post on Facebook, and a list of supporters. Congressman Mike Thompson, Congressman Jared Huffman,
Senators.
Senator Mike McGuire, Senator Bill Dodd, Assemblymember Jim Woods, California Coastal Commissioner and former Regional Parks Director Carol Hart. And so, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So you have a lot of support.
Yes,
so
I do have a lot of support. I'm very grateful for the support I have. I just got a word from my trusty assistant that it is Measure G.
Thank you, and I'm sorry.
Measure G. Should have had it.
Okay, that's good. So Measure G, and that supports fire. Funding for the fire departments.
Yes,
and fire protection.
For fire protection.
Good.
We need. We're understaffed and we're under-equipped. We need all the resources
And it affects everyone in the county, not just the homes that are near the fire or in the wildfire areas. It affects everyone.
That's right. So everybody.
That's something good to support. So there was something else I was going to mention before we wrapped all this up. We talked about, you mentioned, I think we have a couple minutes, the vets, a couple of vets, and you mentioned the Palms, which I know the owners of that property. Akash actually was on there. Yeah. He has done great things with that.
He's been great. When we opened the Palms, and it took us about only 5 months, it was a brutal winter, and I kept reminding the staff that there were 60 veterans that were going to be sleeping on the street that night unless we opened it.
Yeah.
So we got it opened and immediately housed about 104 people, and the majority of those were veterans.
Okay.
There's caseworkers there, both through the VA and through Catholic Charities that provide support. The Tiny Home Vets Village has been totally a vision and dream come true, with incredible partners, including the City of Santa Rosa and including the county property and our wonderful nonprofit builder through Sonoma County Community Corporation, Paula Cook. But also having caseworkers live there.
Yeah.
And they're beautiful little homes, and it's a real village and real support, and people are looking at it all over the United States right now.
Great.
Yeah.
I think it's good to see, and I think that's one segment of the population we really need to take care of. And they're so under appreciated and underserved.
That's one of my top goals in this next term. I want to
take care of our vets.
We've been able to cut it in half, and I want to eliminate it here in Sonoma County. No more vets on the street.
Good.
They are all housed.
And I think that those are two great solutions, the village and then taking a hotel, and turning it into a...
And Jack Tibbetts is working on one right now from St. Vincent's called the Gold Coin Hotel, too. So we've got another
one in the
queue. Yeah.
Good. Well, we got to wrap it up. This has been Allison Norman, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman, of speaking with Supervisor Shirley Zane. Get out March 3rd and vote, and hopefully you vote for Shirley.
Yeah.
And thanks for joining me. We'll be back next week here on the Real Estate Hour. Have a great Sunday.
The preceding was a paid presentation. News, traffic, weather, talk. Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO Santa Rosa.